Ephesians chapter 4 this evening, please. The book of Ephesians chapter 4.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 22, go down through the end of the chapter, and then just focus on a couple of the verses here. But I want to begin in Ephesians chapter 4, and verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 22, follow along in your Bible if you would as I read aloud, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22. Paul says this, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let me stop just a minute. That's the favorite verse of every angry Christian. That verse is used by so many Christians to justify non-scriptural anger. The Bible does not condone anger for anger's sake. Those that like that verse or those that run to that verse always will refer to the one time that Jesus in His ministry got angry and drove people from the temple. One time in 3.5 years of ministry that He looked upon them in anger, and they'll justify being angry on a regular basis by Jesus doing it once in 3.5 years in this verse in Ephesians. And so we might want to make sure we're not making a misapplication of the verse in Ephesians. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that ye may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer tonight. Father, we do thank you for your word, and God, we ask your blessing upon it tonight. We pray that the text that is before us that we're about to consider would reach not only our ears, but Father, reach our heart and our soul. God, help us to align ourselves with the Word of God and with you. We pray, God, you'd help us to confront some issues in our lives that maybe we remain lying hidden under the carpet. Father, may we pull it back and see it as it is tonight. May we consider our hearts and our souls. Father, we make sure that we have the victory in our life that you want us to have. That, Father, we not have any hidden sins or favorite sins that, God, we like to keep by the wayside. We pray you'd help us to lay aside that sin that so easily besets us and run with patience the race that's set before us. Father, bless your word. Examine our hearts tonight. Do that work that only you can do. And for that which you do, we'll give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. The Bible says in verse number 22 that there are some things that we need to put off. In verse number 24, it says there's some things that we ought to put on. In verse number 25, there are some things that we need to put away. Can I tell you tonight that just because you're saved, washed in the blood of Christ, sealed unto the day of redemption, going to heaven without any doubt, without any repercussions, without any worries, doesn't mean that your responsibilities in this life are over. We are to put off some things. We're to put on some things. We're to put away some things. What's the difference between putting off and putting away? I believe that putting off is a one-time thing. When you and I get saved, we put off the former conversation and which was corrupt according to deceitful lust. We put some things away once and for all when we get saved. But there are some other things that keep showing their heads during our Christian walk and our Christian life. These are things that we have to constantly deal with. We don't have the ability to put them off, so we have to put them away and continue putting them away and put them away over and over and over again. That's why God allows us to live this life, to get the victories we can get, to be obedient to Him, to please Him, to live for Him in this life. Too many times we as Christians get saved, we thank God for our salvation, we pick up our bags, we head down life on our own, and forget to include God in every thought. And the Bible is telling us that if we want to put away some things, we need His constant guidance. We need His constant presence. We need the Spirit of God inside of us to be able to live fully through us. And so the Bible tells us that we need to do some of these things. Let me ask you a question tonight. If you had something which causes mental anguish, would you be willing to put it away? Something that causes mental anguish and God gave you the ability to put it off. Would you put it off or would you hang on to it? If that same thing also caused emotional stress, would you choose to hang on to it? Mental anguish, emotional stress? Would you choose to hang on to it or would you say, no, God, help me, I want to put it away? I think the answer is obvious as to what we at least ought to do with that. If it went so far, and it does, to cause even physical problems, this thing we're going to talk about causes mental anguish, emotional stress, physical problems. The result of this is that it binds us emotionally and mentally so much that we do, it's not psychosomatic as the doctors would say, but that which consumes us sometimes affects us physically. And if we have the ability to put off that which affects us physically, put it away, get rid of it, would we choose to do it or to hang on to it? I think no doubt you would agree with me that if there was that thing that caused mental anguish, emotional stress, and physical problems, that whatever it is, we would be willing to put it away. Let me tell you what that thing is. Look at verse number 31. Let all bitterness be put away. Let all bitterness be put away. Through the course of this message, and as we look at some things tonight, I want you to look at your own heart and your own soul and recognize the places where bitterness is there. None of us are exempt from it. None of us can say we never confront it. If so, the Bible wouldn't have to tell us to put it away. If we didn't deal with it, if it wasn't a problem, God wouldn't take the time to say, make sure you put this thing away. Bitterness is a problem. And you know what the wonderful thing is? And this is true of all of our problems, whether we recognize it or not, is the Bible tells us what causes it. The Bible tells us what it produces in our life. And the Bible tells us how to get rid of it. Isn't that an amazing thing? That book right there, talking about this thing of bitterness, tells you what causes it, what it produces, and how to get rid of it. And yet people will spend $75 an hour on a psychiatrist's bench or a psychologist's couch and pay some educated man. I'll just stop it right there. Pay some educated man to tell them how to get rid of what this book right here has already told them how to get victory over. The answers are here. The cure is here. It'll tell you the cause of it. It'll tell you the results of it. It'll tell you how to get rid of it. But it'll put the responsibility on your shoulder and mine to do it. And it's not an easy thing to do. We're going to see that tonight as we consider bitterness. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness be put away." Turn, if you would, over to Hebrews chapter 12. Keep your place there in Ephesians 4. We'll be back. But look at Ephesians chapter 12. And I want you to look at verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 12, excuse me. If you find Ephesians 12, let me know. And we'll check out your Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15. Hebrews 12:15, it says here, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Notice this. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Notice it says, lest any root of bitterness. Let's talk about that first. The root of bitterness. Bitterness is a root. It's something that's below the surface. It's something that can't be seen by the eye. What it produces will
come upward and you'll see that, but you don't see the root. You don't see what it is. Bitterness is something that's down deep below the surface that cannot be seen. Four times in the Bible talks about bitterness of soul. That's down inside. That's deep in here. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 14, if you have bitter envying in your hearts, that's where bitterness begins. It begins down deep inside. It's not something that we can just cut off the surface of our skin, but it's something that's down deep inside. That's what makes it hard to get rid of. If it was just something out here, we could change it out really quick, but it's something down inside. And the Bible says, it is the root of bitterness. We can't see it down in there. All we can do is see its results. Before there's a root, though, there is a seed. Something that causes that root to germinate. Something that causes that root to grow. There is a seed that causes that bitterness to even formulate underneath the surface. So many things can cause bitterness. And I mean, as I began to think of them and formulate them, they're more than I can even begin to number. The number of things that can cause bitterness to spring up in our hearts. But they all fall into one of three categories. And let me tell you what those three categories are. What is the seed that causes bitterness? Number one is something that's done to us. We get bitter because somebody did something to us. And it might be that they did something wrong and we were completely innocent and they did something bad to us, but it caused bitterness. That seed of something done wrong caused bitterness to grow underneath the surface down deep in our heart and soul. And that's not a good thing regardless of whether we were innocent in the matter. But it causes when something is done to us. It's caused when something is said about us. Someone in whom we trusted, someone who we counted a friend, goes and tells somebody else something personal or private or maybe even untrue about us. And that thing that's said causes us to have bitterness in our heart toward that person or toward that friend. Something that's said about us can be the seed that causes bitterness. Thirdly, something taken from us. You know, a lot of people get bitter with God over the loss of loved ones, the loss of children, the loss of parents, the loss of property, the loss of finance, the loss of job, something is taken from them. The children in a divorce situation where the parents are taken and split up many times have to deal with the issue of bitterness when something is taken from them. And again, this can be, somebody can be completely innocent in this transaction, and yet that seed will come in because the devil is wise. He knows exactly what to do. And he'll cause that seed to turn into a root of bitterness down deep within that person. And if we don't get the victory, if we don't take care of that root of bitterness, we're going to be in trouble. That root produces, that seed produces unforgiveness. And that's really the seed that produces bitterness, is unforgiveness, not willing to forgive. You say, oh, but I was right and they were wrong. Not willing to forgive. Oh, but if you knew what they did, not willing to forgive. Now we'll talk about the cure for bitterness later on. But recognize where the seed came from. In your life or mine, we might be justified in being angry or distraught or put out by something somebody did, something somebody said, something taken from us, whatever the means might be. Whatever avenue it happened, it can put the root of bitterness down in our heart. And we need to be careful because the Bible says, let all bitterness be put away. God knows it's not good for us. Bitterness is not good for us. Notice it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know why the devil wants to implant bitterness in the soul of people? Because he knows when he does it, he's not just taking out one person. Many be defiled. When you and I are overtaken with that spirit of bitterness, and we'll talk about it a little bit in a moment, we not only depress our lives and depress our relationship with God and depress our ability to receive from the Word of God, as James 3 says, but we affect other people that are around us. And that bitterness spreads like a poison. It goes through our body and then it passes on to everyone we come in contact with unless they avoid us, which scripturally they're required to do. That root of bitterness. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 now if you would. The root of bitterness. something said, something done, something taken from us that causes that bitterness to be implanted underneath the surface. Nobody can see it. Nobody knows. Nobody else realizes when it happens to you. I could do it to you as well as you could do it to me. I could say something to you. You could say something to me that just comes off wrong or is taken wrong. Or maybe sometimes it could be intentional. And something is said that just causes that tinge of bitterness to rise up. And boy, if we don't put it away right away, it begins to grow. It begins to flourish. The root of bitterness. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 31, we go on to the fruit of bitterness. After it has taken root below the surface, it just doesn't remain there stagnant. Bitterness just never remains bitterness and never goes anywhere. It begins to grow. It begins to bear fruit. And these fruits are mentioned here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31. Notice it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Notice again in that verse, and this is very important, the word and. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. This again is a grammatical piece of our English language. It's called a polysyndeton. And every time they put and in, it's to slow you down. They could have put it this way. God could have had it written, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away. He could have rushed through the list to get to the result of it. And that's a different form of speech. But when the King James Bible, when it says and, you know, those people that mess with the Bible have no clue what they're messing with. Because God, even that word and is in there. God put it there and inserted there to slow you down so you didn't read through it fast and understand that God wanted you to pay attention to each one of the words in that list. And He says in verse number 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with all malice. God takes attention to the detail to put the right words in there to get it exactly as He wants it so you slow down and think about each one of these. Another thing that we know about the Word of God, that no list is put in there accidentally. God just didn't pick five things and just throw them in there, mix them all up and throw them in. But God, every list He gives us in the Bible is a list of some kind. Importance, digression, walking up the ladder, down the ladder. Every list in the Bible is there for something. And this list is obvious. Bitterness is mentioned first because it's the root under the ground. The rest of the things are the fruits that show because of the bitterness that's implanted there. So bitterness then is, if we could draw a picture, bitterness is the root underneath the ground. And as it springs up, we find first of all, wrath. Second of all, anger. Thirdly, clamor. Fourth, evil speaking. Number five, malice. Can I let you know, if you don't already recognize, none of these are good. None of these are positives. None of these are life-building. None of these are encouraging. None of these are traits that will make other people say, hey, I want to be around that person. These are all destructive characteristics of the human nature. And when the devil is successful in implanting bitterness below the surface, this is the result of it. And if we don't take care of the bitterness, these things are going to evidence themselves in our lives, whether we want them to or not, or whether we try to hide them or not. As long as the root is there, this will be the fruit of those things. These things will sour our lives. They'll scald our brethren. They'll stain our character. They'll spoil our testimony. And they will sadden the Spirit of God. It's not a coincidence, I think, that verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. This bitterness and the fruits that it produces sadden the Spirit of God in our lives. And it grieves the Spirit of God when we allow these things to remain untouched. Let's look at the things that it says. It says, let all bitterness and wrath. Now, if you and I were writing this list, and I'll be honest with you, if I look at the first two, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, I think I would reverse the two and say that anger comes before wrath. But God, who knows what He's talking about better than I do, says that wrath comes before anger. Keep your place there and look, if you would, back at Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 4. Isn't it wonderful that God explains Himself? People that correct the Bible are in extreme danger. Because most of the time there's a cross-reference for what they're correcting where God explained why He said it the way He did. And when they go around and change that, they're messing with God. And that's the one they'll give an account to. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 4. And you'll see that God has the order right. Before anger is wrath. Wrath comes first, then anger builds upon it. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. Wrath is the first step, anger is the second step. Before anyone ever has anger, they first have wrath. Both of these are the fruit of bitterness below the surface. If bitterness is not dealt with, that wrath begins to form in our life that will result in anger. And the Bible has a lot to say about anger. Wrath is that thing that begins to formulate when we allow bitterness to remain and allow it to stay in our life. The first thing that's evident in our life is a taking away of peace. That's what wrath is. The removal of peace. When God's wrath comes upon this earth, it's when His peace is taken away and wrath is open to come down. And what happens with a person with bitterness is before anything else is done, there's a peace in their heart and soul that's taken away because of that bitterness. And it produces, after that, it produces anger. When people get angry, they usually meditate on the cause of their anger all day long. It consumes them. That's what they talk about. You know what so-and-so did to me? All day long, they'll talk about that one thing. They won't let it go. They'll include people that they don't need to tell about it, don't need to hear about it, probably don't even care about it. But because they're consumed with it, wrath, they're going to pass it on and make it a focal point of their day. You can spot the people the minute they open their mouth. What's the problem? Not bad people. Not lost, unsaved people. But people that allow the root of bitterness to formulate under the ground and they don't even recognize it and it's beginning to show. When we can't get victory over the things that happen in our life, it's going to show. And that person that will be angry will begin to think about it and talk about it and tell other people until eventually they'll meet somebody that's sympathetic, that's just as angry as they are. And boy, when they get together, boom, it's a collision. And it gets spread and it becomes a big deal and it becomes a lot larger than it was when it really started. Anger, the outpouring of that fruit of bitterness that's underneath the heart. Look at Proverbs, if you would, chapter 29, verse 22. Proverbs is a great book on the practical things of our life. And it has a lot to say about anger and wrath. But look at Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife. This is what happens when somebody has bitterness underneath the surface. It produces that wrath where they're just, the peace is taken away. And then that anger begins to formulate and they begin to talk about it and they stir things up. And anybody that gets around them gets caught up in this spirit of anger that they're caught up in. And that bitterness begins to spread through them. And the Bible says, an angry man stirreth up strife. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. And verse 24, here's what the Bible says. You want peace? You want joy? Boy, this is... I have trouble believing in my mind. I'm wondering, do you understand the enormity of this? And I'm not talking about the people I'm looking at. I'm thinking most about unsafe society and lost people and the way they live their lives and the things that consume them. And we just live in an angry society. You know, road rage is just the result of the anger that society has been captivated by for a long time. Shootings on college campuses, as the preacher talked about this morning. This is just an outpouring of the anger that's been there for a long, long time. And now it's finding a even more violent outbreak and way to get out. But this world is angry. They live in anger. They get so, you can go up to Walmart and bump into somebody and boy, they get angered. They get mad at the drop of a hat. We live in an angry, angry world. And unless you and I are careful not to associate with people that are like that, we will become that way also. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. You know somebody that's just constantly angry? You know somebody that just is consumed with the bitterness that produces the wrath and the anger that the Bible says? Don't spend time with them. Don't hang around them because you will become just as consumed and angry as they are. Dealing with this bitterness, the bitterness that produces wrath, the wrath that produces anger. You don't need to turn, but Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 9. It says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. You know, there are very few reasons to get red in the face. Very few legitimate reasons to get red in the face. People, I don't know if it's, I've got all kinds of ideas of why it is. I don't know if it's the downgrading of our educational system and the lack of IQ we have in this day. But people will yell and scream to make their point when common sense and talking would seem to take care of the problem. Whether it's a gas station attendant or the receptionist at a hospital or whatever it be, people want an answer or don't get the right answer or get the wrong information. And instead of just saying, hey, you told me wrong, this wasn't right, they just get angry. We live in an angry world. It's because there's bitterness. The root of bitterness is down there festering. And the Bible says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. A guy gets all, at the drop of a hat, just gets full of anger and red in the face and mad. And you know what you say? You need Jesus Christ. You need the peace that passes all understanding. You need a relationship with a God that can give you joy, and you'll not be anger rested in the bosom of fools. Wrath produces anger. Look back, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 31. This bitterness that's under the surface begins to spring up, and it produces wrath. Now, you understand, when we're not talking about not getting angry when someone touches your children who shouldn't be touching your children. You understand the practical things from what we're talking about. We're not talking about, if somebody does something that violates you or does something that, is an extreme example of that you're not justified in getting angry. But that's not what the majority of the world's dealing with. That's not what we deal with mainly day to day. We deal with getting angry over the situations of life that ought not bother us so much. And the reason it does is because there's bitterness down below the surface. Wrath, anger. Notice it says thirdly, and clamor. You know, clamor is just loud rattling. Loud voices. Loud talking. Loud speaking. Just venting everything that comes out. Wrath, anger, clamor. All from the root of bitterness. From an unseen source that produces these things in our life. See, here's what somebody thinks. I'm a Christian. I'll take care of the wrath, the anger, and the clamor. If you don't take care of the unseen thing, you won't take care of the visible ones. We think as Christians, well, as long as I don't murder and as long as I don't kill, wrath and anger are okay. God says, put it away. Get rid of it. Deal with it. Take care of it. If you want to please me, if you want to do what I've told you to do, you can't be satisfied just to put away those big sins everybody else did. Deal with the little ones, every weight which so easily besets you. Wrath, anger, clamor, where does it go? The fourth step on it says evil speaking. We let the bitterness fester where we begin to actually vocalize what we might wish would happen to those who have upset us. Oh, I wish he would. Oh, I wish she would. Well, she got what was coming. Boy, that's evil. That's wicked. That's what, now let me say this. It's awful hard to stop that from popping in here. But you can prevent it from coming out here. Now, I know the Bible says that God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's better to even not have it come in here. But at least start with it not coming out of there. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And then we just cheer him on when he does. We need to be careful. That's that wrath. That's the anger. That's the clamor. That's the evil speaking. And the Bible says it culminates with all malice. Malice is defined as a vicious disposition. A vicious disposition. Just the attitude of everybody else getting what they deserve. Of everybody else that's ever wronged me being punished. These are results of an unseen root below the surface. The root of bitterness. The fruit of bitterness. And then let me tell you the last thing. And it doesn't rhyme with root or fruit. If you can come up with a word that does, you let me know later. But it's the remedy for bitterness. In all that we've talked about, that bitterness is the source underneath the surface, that it produces these five things. None of these things are good. None of these things are beneficial. None of these things will produce joy or happiness or peace in your life or anybody else's. And so God says, put them away. And then you say, well, God, how do I put them away? He says, well, I don't know. I didn't tell you that part. I just told you all that. No, God tells us everything we need to know. And he tells us not only what these things do and the problem with us, but he says, I've got a remedy for the bitterness. Are you ready for the remedy? I don't think you are. I don't think I'll give it to you. It's in the Bible anyway. It's not like I came up with it. But you know what the problem with the remedy is? It's not a quick fix. It's not a fast food restaurant. See, the problem with us today in our society that if it can't be dealt with and done right away, we don't have the stamina, we don't have the determination, we don't have the faithfulness, we don't have the gumption to do whatever it takes to take care of the problem. Imagine this. The problem is a root. The root is below the surface. My wife she hasn't asked me, but I've gone out, maybe I haven't, in my mind, I've gone out and helped her weed the garden. It's hard when your wife's sitting there. I could have said it, when I go out to help weed the garden, but with her sitting there, I got to tell the truth, so it makes it rough. But there have been times, I can remember, that I went out to help weed the flower beds out front, the ones on the side. I don't mind weeding the flower bed by just grabbing that thing that shows and yanking it off the ground and going through and picking them all off. But you know what she tells me? They're going to grow back. And I know that. But it's just a lot easier just to pick what I can see. And it looks good. But if you don't take the time and make the effort to get down to where the root's growing on the smallest of a weed, it's going to grow back. You've got to get it out. But it takes more effort and it takes more work to get all the way down. I can get it done faster and it looks good if I can just pick what's off the surface. But if I'm really going to get rid of it, I've got to take the time and put the effort into it to dig down deep. And the remedy to bitterness is not just picking something off the surface. The remedy to bitterness is getting down to the root of it and pulling it out. And it's not a pleasant experience. That remedy is found here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 32. We have those who have done things against us, those who have spoken against us, those who have taken things from us. And we are justified in our mind in our bitterness because they were in the wrong, we were in the right. I'm giving you and I the benefit of the doubt. In most of the situations, we were completely innocent. We had been done wrong. Something said about us, something taken from us. And the bitterness got implanted there, and now it's beginning to produce things that needs to be dealt with. But it's hard to deal with them. And here's what God says to do in that situation, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. Can I confess? It is hard to be kind to those that have done me evil. I don't want you to think that, you know, there's some kind of super spiritual preacher standing up here telling you what to do. I've got to apply that verse to myself as well as anybody else does. And it is difficult sometimes to keep a smile on my face and the right tone in my voice in dealing with people that I've got bitterness against. But the Bible says that if I want to find a solution for that. Now, you know, you can pick up the psychology books, and I read a little bit of psychology. I like to delve over on the other side and see what they say to do in dealing with these things and see what the side. And boy, they've got all kinds of wild answers for what you do to deal with. I'm glad that God's answers are simple. I'm glad they're precise and they're simple. They're not easy, but they're exactly what we need. And to deal with our bitterness, the Bible says, first of all, we need to be kind one to another. Most of you, I don't have any trouble being kind to. I think I didn't say all of you. I don't have any trouble being kind to you. But there's some people that it's hard to be kind to. And you know what the Bible says? Those are the ones that God is talking about when it says be kind one to another. If that wasn't hard enough, he says, second of all, tender-hearted. I don't know about, maybe for you ladies that's not, but for us men, that's not a favorite word. Tender-hearted. That we are supposed to submit ourselves. We are supposed to humble ourselves. We're supposed to look at ourselves as lower than others and be tender-hearted toward other people who have been responsible for the root of bitterness being implanted within us. But you know what the truth of the matter is? That if I have to live my life either saying, I've got this bitterness and I'll let it reside there and I'll let it stay under the surface and I'll try to watch, and if anything springs up, I'll pick it off real quick and I'm letting it to stay there because I'm not willing to be tender-hearted. That's not pleasing to God. And I can't serve God with all my might, all my strength, and all my spirit if I'm hiding those things in my heart. When preachers preach against sin, it's not just the big things, it's these small things. We need to be tender-hearted. You know, it's hard to get in an argument with somebody if you're tender-hearted. You can't. If you're tender-hearted, you can't. What are you going to do? You can't tell them what you think. You can't give them a piece of your mind. You can't get angry. You can't get mad. You can't get... I don't like tender-hearted. You can't get sarcastic. You can't put the zingers in there. If you're tender-hearted one toward another, to have a tender heart toward others, that's how you deal with that bitterness. It's hard work. It's hard to dig up the root. A lot easier to clean it off the surface. Kind one to another. Tender-hearted. And then the kicker. Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Someone that has done you wrong, spread false information about you, taken something from you, and never asked for forgiveness, but to be forgiving. You know, the Bible says, if we forgive not our debtors, God will not forgive ours. Not talking about salvation, but talking about forgiveness of transgression, forgiveness of iniquity. Forgiving one another. You know why the kingdom of God is going to be a utopia? You know why the millennial reign is going to be full of peace? Because Jesus Christ is going to be ruling and reigning and taking care of these things right here on the earth. Right now it's up to us to subject ourselves to these things on our own. And it takes work to do it, and so most of the time we don't. We let the bitterness reside. At best, we pick the fruit when it shows up on the surface. We have the problem is, you don't notice it until it really gets bad. You've got that little garden and you pick all the stuff there and the weeds begin to grow. You don't really notice it until all of a sudden one day you turn and look and they're all over the place. You don't notice it the first time one small one springs up and the second one springs up. And by the time you notice it, there's more there than you realize were there. The same thing is true in our life when bitterness resides. It's showing itself, it's visible to others, and we don't even recognize it until we turn around and look, and there's a lot more there than we ever thought was there. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father, tonight we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the simplicity and the clarity of it. God, we're thankful that it deals with even the deepest issues of our life down here on earth. God, when we get to heaven, we'll not need these verses in Ephesians chapter 4 we read about tonight. We'll not have to be told what to put off and what to put on and what to put away. These things are written for our benefit right now. God, if we don't practice them now, we're wasting our time for eternity. You want us to put away bitterness. Put away these other things that are the fruit of bitterness. God, speak to our hearts. Humble us under Your mighty hand. Help us to be pure, our hearts to be pure and right before You. We pray You bless this invitation time as we sing in Jesus' name. Amen. Page 315 in the songbook tonight. As we sing, the altar is open as God deals with your heart.